Last Sunday morning, we started what I thought at the time would not be a series, but it ended up being a series talking about reasons to praise God, or reasons why our God is God of the year. Reasons our God is God of the year. And I do want to say, although it's not a Christmas message, if our God was not the good God that He is, and all of these things that we're going to talk about, we've talked about, I think, seven already. We're going to talk about three or four this morning, more qualities of God. We'll probably finish this up tonight, so be back in your place. I think it'll be an encouragement if you can come back out tonight. But, you know, as we look at these qualities of God, if God wasn't this way, if He wasn't such a good God, there would be no Christmas. I mean, it's all because of the very nature of God. And as we look at these qualities in Psalm 145, as we look at these qualities, God meets these qualities 100%. In other words, He is the perfect picture of each one of these qualities. And because He is perfect in all of these wonderful qualities, He loved us so much that He sent Jesus for us. You know what? I don't know. I think there's probably enough selfish in me that if I was in heaven and everything was great, why in the world would I make my son come to this earth for a bunch of people down there that keep rebelling against the Lord? But because He's that kind of God, we can put up nice decorations, my two pet trees here. We can put up all the garland and the trees in the back, and we can have Christmas caroling, we can have parades, and we can have family time together, and we can eat that turkey and dressing or ham or some of you seafood, whatever, you know. We can do all of that, all because the joy that God gives us from His very nature and who He is. So as we look at that, I don't want you to think, well, a preacher preached this message clean over here and we're at Christmas. There is a connection between the two. That if He was not this kind of God, the God of the year, as I'm calling Him here in this sermon series, the God of the year, we really wouldn't have anything to celebrate. We'd be saying, well, anybody come up with anything, reason we can celebrate? But because of God's love, because of His nature, because He is good, we can say, boy, I got that. How many reasons do you want me to give you to be happy and to be joyful and to praise God? Psalm 145, we're going to read that chapter again. I'm going to review briefly, then we'll cover a little bit of new ground. And like I said, my hope is to finish up this sermon series, Reasons to Praise God, or Reasons Why Our God is God of the Year, tonight in the service. Psalm 145, beginning with verse 1, if you would follow along in your Bible, if you have one, or follow along on the screen, that would be fine. I will extol Thee, my God, O King. And I will bless Thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless Thee, and I will praise Thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. And His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise Thy works to another, and shall declare Thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of Thy majesty, and of Thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of Thy terrible acts, and I will declare Thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of Thy great goodness, and shall sing of Thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. All Thy works shall praise Thee, O Lord, and Thy saints shall bless Thee. They shall speak of the glory of Thy kingdom, and talk of Thy power, to make known to the sons of men His mighty acts, and the glorious majesty of His kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and Thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest Thine hand, and satisfieth the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways, and holy in all His works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Psalm 145, it says David's psalm of praise. It's the only psalm in the whole book of Psalms that is titled as such, a psalm of praise. In this psalm, the word praise is used five times. And from chapters 145 through the end of the chapter, guess what? Praise is used a number of times, a bunch of times. It's called the grand doxology of praise. 46 times praise is used in these chapters because our God is praiseworthy. Let's try that again. Because our God is praiseworthy. That's a little bit better. We've already looked at some qualities. First of all, he's eternal. That's good news. Because if he wasn't eternal, he could promise eternal life and promise heaven. But if he wasn't eternal, it would be in jeopardy. But God is eternal. Praiseworthy. Second, our God is great. Our God is great. As I said Wednesday night, I said if a tiger can say that Frosted Flakes is great, I mentioned it Sunday morning too, believe me, we ought to be able to say our God is great, right? Thirdly, our God is active. He could be a God that's way off on vacation somewhere. He could be a God that's way off in seclusion in some place that only God can get to, and we don't know anything much about him, but he's out there. He kind of made the world and wound it up. But I'm thankful that our God is an active God. He's an active God. If we'll let him, he'll continue to be active in our lives as Christians our entire life and help us to become all that he wants us to be. Fourthly, our God is good. Our God is good. You know, as I've said before, he didn't have to be good, but he chose to be good, and his very nature is good. Number five, we've already looked at, our God is righteous. You know what that means? Morally right or just in all of his ways. You say, well, why is that important? Do you realize that every man, woman, every person in the whole world will stand before the judgment of God someday? Now, the lost at the great white throne judgment, and they will be cast into an eternal hell. But guess what? That judgment is based upon the righteousness of God. So God is always gets it right. He's a just God. God, or justices today, justices of the peace, they call magistrates now. You got folks that are judges on different courts around our country. They may not be just. They may not be right. But can I tell you that our God is always right in his judgments? And before the lost at the great white throne judgment or the judgment seat of Christ, where we as Christians stand, based upon our service to the Lord. Have we served him the way that we should? And believe me, we'll not have the objection to say, well, I object to that. God will say, you can't do that. I'm God. And I'm just, or I am righteous. So God is righteous. God is also gracious, full of grace, full of unmerited favor. Even the most rotten rascal in the whole wide world, God is still gracious to him. So many things God has given to us. We want to blame him for everything, but we don't give him credit. I like it right there in one of these verses in particular. It says, the Lord is good to all in verse 9. He's gracious. He's good. Full of grace. And also, as we've looked at before, our God is also compassionate. Compassionate. Full of compassion and love for us. You know, it says in 1 John 4 twice that God is love. God is love. And as Jesus went about, basically God in flesh is who Jesus was, the Son of God, but God himself. As he walked about this earth, it says several times of Jesus that he had compassion upon the people. I'm thankful that God shows us that compassion today. reasons to praise God, reasons why our God is God of the year. He's eternal, he's great, he's active, he's good, he's righteous, he's gracious, he's compassionate. And this morning, brand new material. Our God is long-suffering, long-suffering. If you look at verse 8 of Psalm 145, notice it says, slow to anger and of great mercy. Slow to anger. You know, our God is long-suffering. He is slow to anger. Do you know that there's a lot of things in this life upset us? Y'all agree with that? I mean, all you got to do is flick on the television or the radio or any media outlet, get on whatever, Facebook. You can get on the news outlet on the electronically on the internet. And guess what? You're kind of like, wow. And if you're not careful, your blood pressure will go up and your stress level will go up and you'll get ulcers and all that. God is seeing the whole world. And he's God. He could do whatever he wants to. I'm thankful that he's long-suffering. Slow to anger, or else Steve DeLay might be a pile of ashes right now. I mean, seriously, God has the power and the right to do whatever he wants to do. But our God is long-suffering to us. You know, I've known people that are not slow to anger. Have you ever been around people that are not slow to anger? The Bible has a lot to say about people that are quick to get angry. It's a lack of self-control. And you say, preacher, that's something I struggle with. Well, I hope God gives you grace to overcome that, because that's terrible. I know before, I've had people in the churches I pastored before, and they're real quick-tempered, and boy, I could be saying something, and I just see this face. You know, and I see those veins start popping out in their neck. You know, I'm like, oh, you know. And it's like, wow. So sometimes man is not very slow to anger, but quick-tempered. But what is God? He is slow to anger. He is long-suffering to us. You know, that's good news for us as Christians, but do you realize that's good news for the lost? You know, there's a passage of Scripture we're going to turn to. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 to 11. I want you to listen to these verses under the topic that God is long-suffering. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 to 11. It says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 to 11, if you notice before that, he's talking about the Lord's return, okay? But listen to what it says in these verses. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. You know, there's some people in this world say, you know what? They've been saying that Jesus is coming back. They've been saying it for decades. They've been saying it for centuries, and he's still not come back. And they say, well, God must not be going to keep his promise to come back. That's not the case. Notice what it says. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, it asks a question. What manner of person ought ye to be in all holiness, holy conversation, and godliness? The Lord's coming back. The reason he hasn't already come back is because he's long-suffering to the lost. And you know what? We should not take advantage of God's long-suffering. I'm thankful that as God of the year, as God of the universe, the only true God, that I have a reason to praise him for his long-suffering. But you know what? We as Christians can take advantage of God's long-suffering. Are you listening? We can say, oh, it's okay. It's fine. I know I'm not serving the Lord the way I should, but it's okay, preacher. It's all right, because God is this long-suffering. Let me tell you, long-suffering is a great reason to praise God, but it's a terrible, horrible, horrendous reason to wait to do your best for God. Because when the Lord comes back, We can't say, but I was just waiting just a few more weeks, Lord, and I was going to get on fire for you. Just a few more months, and I was going to be faithful to read the Bible. Just let me get out of this season of life. In another year, I'll bet you I'd start reading my Bible. I'll bet you I'd even tell neighbors about Jesus. I bet I'd be faithful to church. We cannot afford to take advantage of God's long suffering. You hear what I'm saying? We need to be thankful for it. But, folks, we need to get busy. I don't know sometimes. I don't know what it's going to take some Christian to realize. Get out of your sleep. Get out of your slumber. The Lord is coming back. And it could be today. You say, but I got Christmas plans. So what? God is God. He could come back and we don't even have Christmas meal. Don't take advantage of God's long suffering. And there's lost people that think they got all the time in the world. You know, it says right there that he is long-suffering, but he is coming back. If you're here today and you're lost, you need to get right today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't take advantage of God's long-suffering. I got all the time in the world. I've said before, and I'll say again, I believe in hell there are gazillions of people that said, later, Lord, later, 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 and then they die before they trust Jesus, and it's too late. Do not take advantage of God's long-suffering. Did you hear me? I'm thankful that our God is long-suffering. I praise the Lord for that. You know, my dad was one of the most patient, long-suffering people I ever knew. I've told you this story before, I believe, but you see, he had a 30 by 30 foot cinder block garage. My dad used to do body work on cars. Then he started working for the state and run the tramway there at Hawk's Nest, up and down. They come to him and ask if he wanted to work for him. That's a pretty good testimony, don't you think? And he went to work there, retired from there, and he was building on to this garage, going to make it into our home. And so he added 15 feet on this way, one side of it, you know, laid the foundation and started laying the blocks. Now, my dad did things right. My mom always joked that it took him a full day to lay one block. Man, that's a patient person. That's a long-suffering person. You know why? Because he wanted that one block, that first block, to be right. You know, to be level and to be the right height and be, you know, have just the right amount of mortar in it and everything. Now, for a good bricklayer or block layer, you know, they just lay them boom, 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 boom. But I guess my dad was still learning, and he's like, he took him all day because he wanted to make sure that block was right. You know, God, in a similar way, is patient with us because he wants us to be right. He wants us to be right with him. I am thankful. I praise the Lord today that our God is long-suffering. But a little tiny asterisk underneath that, do not take advantage of God's long-suffering. Another quality of God that's praiseworthy, he is merciful. Right after it says he is slow to anger in verse 8, it says, and of just a little bit of mercy. Is that what it says? No, I think that word's great, isn't it? Of great mercy. It says in verse 9, the Lord is good to all his tender mercies. It says all his tender mercies are over all his works. You know, mercy is not giving us what we deserve. Do you know what everybody in here deserves, including the guy behind the pulpit? You know what every one of us deserve? We deserve hell. We deserve separation from God. But because of his mercy, not giving us what we deserve, we got purpose, we got peace, we got joy, we got security, and by golly, we got the best retirement plan. You might say it's out of this world. All because of God's mercy. Now, mercy and long-suffering are intertwined a bit, but I'm thankful that God is a merciful God. Do you remember the publican or the tax collector in Scripture in Luke chapter 18, verse 13? We're not going to turn there. But do you remember the Pharisees were all stiff-necked and they were so proud and they'd get on the side of the street and pray real loud so that everybody would think how spiritual they are? And remember, the publican, one of those hated ones that collected taxes for the Roman government from the Jews, remember? Remember the parable here, the story? He says, the publican basically prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm thankful for God's mercy. Have you ever had to go to God and say, God? I have. It seems like it's a regular prayer of mine. Oh, God, please be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm thankful that our God is merciful. Again, he doesn't give us what we deserve, but he is merciful to us. He gives us blessing instead. I'm thankful for God's mercy. There's a psalm. We're not going to turn there, but Psalm 136. All 26 verses say, for his mercy endureth forever. I'm thankful for God's forever enduring mercy that is great, that is tender as well. There's a lot of reasons to praise God. He is long-suffering. He is merciful. Third this morning, he is glorious. Our God is glorious. I mean, look at Scripture. In verse 5, the first part, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty. Look at verse 11, the first part, it says, they shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. Notice what it says in verse 12, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. You know, I'm thankful that our God is not an average, run-of-the-mill God. Our God is a glorious God. You know, a word that we might use today for glorious, you say, well, we don't use that word a whole lot. You know, what does it go? Magnificent. Have you ever seen something like, wow, that's magnificent? They use that term to describe works of art. They say, you know, that's a magnificent work of art. Can I tell you that our God is a magnificent God? I'm thankful that he is so magnificent, that he is so glorious. You know, if we would have the opportunity to enter the presence of God in his full glory, we would be blown away, literally. Literally. Because our God is so glorious or magnificent. I'm not going to have you turn there. I'm not even going to plop up the verses. But in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 5, do you remember Isaiah in the presence of the Lord? He was in the presence of God. And you know what his response was? The glory of God was so big. God was so glorious and magnificent. Do you know what? About the first words out of his mouth? Woe is me. Like, whoa. God is so big and I'm so insignificant. You see, part of the problem with us Christians, we're a little bit too big for our britches. Seriously, we think we have the answers. I'm going to do it my way. We don't have to do it our way. We got a glorious God. We got a magnificent God that has all of this. He's got it under control, don't you know? Do you realize that the U.S. Capitol tree and the national tree both came from West Virginia this year? From the Monongahela National Forest. And it's funny, the one at the White House blew over. Cable snapped. And they were showing pictures and they were talking about, you know, the tree lighting of the one at the U.S. Capitol. And then they switched to that and the tree was over and the lights were on it, but they were putting it up. I'm thinking, well, that's a weird way to decorate a tree. You decorate it before you put it up. And then I heard them say the cable snapped and it went down. But both of them come out of the Monongahela National Forest, out of Randolph County, both of them, from what I understand. And that boy out of Beverly, which is near Elkins, I believe, he was the one that got to light the tree because he won an essay contest and he was able to light the tree. And you say, wow, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? I learned another little bit of information. It has nothing to do with the message, but they said that the U.S. Capitol tree since 1970, they get it from a different national forest. But in 1970, the very first one also came. That's when they probably had a tree before then, but they started taking them out of the national forest, that it came out of Monongahela National Forest in 1970, and then one time in the interim, and then this year as well. But you know, you a lot of times we have tree light. I've been to tree lighting services, you know, in different places I've been, community tree lighting services. And if you watch the one on television with the national tree, and they lit the tree there in New York City, different trees, and you're like, okay, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then they flick a switch or move a lever or something, and you're like, wow, look at that tree. Isn't that magnificent? Isn't that glorious? Boy, that's nothing compared to our God. I mean, our little pea brains, the Bible says God's ways are so much above ours. His thoughts are so much. We can't even begin to imagine how glorious our God is. But I tell you, it's a reason to praise Him. He's glorious. He's magnificent. He's beyond our comprehension. I'm thankful for that. This morning in particular, I'm thankful that our God is long-suffering. I'm thankful that our God is merciful. I'm thankful that our God is glorious. And lastly this morning, I am thankful that our God is powerful. Powerful. Look at verse 11. It says, "They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power." Power. When's the last conversation you've had with somebody that you talked about how powerful our God is? I mean, has there been any time lately that maybe you run across somebody and they're going through the doldrums of life and a lot of things are wrong? I mean, you know, it'd be a perfect time to say, you know what, I empathize with you. I understand how difficult that is, and I'm sure you're really going through it. But can I tell you, I serve a powerful God. You know, I don't think we brag on God enough. I don't think we, in our hearts, if you will, nominate Him for God of the Year as much as we should in our hearts. I don't think we praise God enough, but we ought to praise Him that He's an all-powerful God. I can't get it out. I guess these advertising people, they know what they're doing. But remember those hefty garbage bags? I cannot get that out of my mind. Almost every time I think of God's power, you know, they say, wimpy, wimpy, wimpy. You know, remember that? But hefty bags are what? Hefty bags. Yeah, our God's hefty. Our God is powerful. Our God is all powerful. And man, if that don't get your clock turning a little bit, there's something wrong with you. Because I don't know about you, but there's things in my life that I'd like to see better. Right? I'd like to see me closer to God. How about you? Would you like to see you closer to God? I'd like to see some problems worked out, wouldn't you? Anybody out there got any illness they'd like to see God just take it away? Well, the good news is, as we approach this holiday season, guess what? Our God is all-powerful. And that's not just an expression we preachers use. It's a reality. And our God could have been a little wimpy God. He could have been. You know, put Him in a little tiny, you know, He's a little mini God. He's just kind of there and He can't do anything, but there He is. We could go to God in prayer and say, God, if You can do it, but it's not that case. Our God is all powerful. We don't have to say, if You can do it, because He can always do it. He's God. As long as it doesn't go against His nature, He is powerful. He is all powerful. And I'm thankful. I personally am thankful. I hope in your heart you are too, to say, we got an all-powerful God. And that situation that I can't handle, you can handle, God. That problem that nobody even knows about, God, you can handle it. And when the doctors say, we can't do anything else, God, you can. Because You're all-powerful. I mean, there's so many things on the personal level, on the church level, on the family level that we need to go before God and say, God, You're it. You're powerful. We can't do it, but guess what? You can. And I thank You for that power. I praise God. I thank Him for being an all-powerful God. There's a verse. Jeremiah 32 and verse 17. Notice what it says. Oh, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm. If you wonder about how powerful God is, just look at this world. I mean, look. Go ahead and gawk at one another. Go ahead and turn around and gawk at one another for just a moment. I'd prefer you not to laugh at the person next to you, but whatever. But look at the creations that are here. Now, I want you to your assignment this afternoon is go out and make a human being, okay? Y'all go out and make a living human being. And if you can't, guess what? You're not God. And guess what? Our God is powerful enough to make this human body. I mean, just look at this body. Isn't this amazing? I'm talking about mine personally. Isn't that amazing? I'm joking on that part. But isn't it amazing how God has made our bodies and the complexity of our bodies and how they work? And even the animals, the critters out in the woods. I mean, it's amazing some of the things, once you dig into it a little bit, the things that God has put in their nature and in their skin and in their fur and in their mind and in their instincts, all of that, it comes from God. Because our God is all powerful. I don't know about you. I might be able to make a mess in a sand pile. Remember playing in the sand pile? Remember that? Y'all remember that? You know, before it was ruled, you know, unsafe and unsanitary, you know, just going out there in the sand and making this and making highways and all that. But I can't make a mountain. I can't make a river. I cannot make a tree. In fact, I can't make anything. But this says, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth. All the stars up there God made. Not only that, it says He calls them by name. Boy, that's a powerful God. It says, by Thy great power and stretched out arm. And notice this. I love this. I love this expression. Listen, from the God's word it says, and there is nothing too hard for Thee. Wow. You know, I've been doing this church work thing a lot, and I hear from Christians sometimes, you'd think we'd serve a little tiny wimpy God about that big. I mean, something comes up, oh, preacher, oh, what are we going to do, preacher? Oh, what? And I'm like, I'm not worried about it. Just let God provide. Let God take care of it. I mean, that's His department. He's got the power, right? So we can go to God with anything in churches, any problems we have in life, any problems in our family, and say, God, there's nothing too hard for You. I want You to work. I don't know about you, this sounds like a pretty amazing God to me. Our God is simply amazing. Today, in particular, this morning, we looked at our God is long-suffering. Our God is merciful. Our God is glorious. And our God is powerful. Let me ask you, as we do approach the Christmas season in particular, we're here. How much do you praise God? Would you say in your heart of hearts, as a Christian, if you're here today and you say, you know what, preacher, I'm a Christian, I know I'm saved, I know I'm on my way to heaven. How much do you praise God? You know, I really believe our God is so awesome, so amazing. I mean, I don't have the words to even fill in there. Such a big God, such a God of the year. I really think that when we start looking at His Word in our private devotions, when we start praying to Him, we on the inside at least, we ought to get pretty excited. And we ought to say, God, I praise You for being that kind of God. And when we come to church, you know what? I don't believe you could put a piece of duct tape big enough on my mouth to keep me from singing. Seriously. I mean, it may not always be pretty, but it's going to come out. Because our God is a big God. He's worthy of our praise. think it's a great time to praise the Lord. I believe there's never a bad time to praise the Lord, but I think as we approach Christmas, we're right here in this season. As we said earlier, there's gospel tracts back there. You can give out to friends and family. We got some more on order coming in. But you can do that. But you know what? What you can say about God whenever you start talking to anybody about Christmas and say Merry Christmas, you know what? I just praise God that Jesus came for me. I mean, what a testimony, right? We can praise God during this time because He's an amazing God. He's an awesome God. He's beyond our comprehension God. So I hope that as we do approach the actual day that we celebrate Christmas, we're December 3rd, we got 22 more days, I guess. But as we approach that day and even get closer and closer, I hope our hearts fill with more and more praise of our God. And we say, boy, you didn't have to be this way, God, but you are, and I praise you. And I praise you that because you are that kind of God, you sent Jesus to make my way to heaven so that when I trust Him as my Savior, I can go to heaven forever. I hope that just swells up inside of you and your heart is so full that you can't help but open your mouth to people around you and praise God. I mean, I hope it's to the point you come to church next time and people are looking at you like, what's wrong with them? I mean, they got this big goofy smile all over their face and we can't get them to stop it. And you just turn around and say, I'm just praising God. I'm just so thankful for our God and all the things that He is, all the blessings that He bestows, because our God is amazing. So I hope today we're going to sing a song appropriately. We're going to be singing God is So Good. And if you feel the need and the urge, the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart to come here to the altar and just bow for a few minutes and say, Lord, I just want to praise you for being the great God that you are. Help me to remember that as we get busy and we rush around at this time of year. Help us to focus on you and your greatness. But what if you're here today and you say, you know what? I don't know I'm going to heaven. I don't know that I'm saved. Notice that word, no. If you're here today and you're not 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven, as we sing that song, God is So Good, I'd settle that. Let me tell you, if you're there and you say, I'm really not sure. If I get killed on my way home today, I don't know if I'd go to heaven or go to hell. I don't know. Man, that's too big. That's eternity right there. Eternity is staring you right in the face. If you're not sure that you're saved, I'd come forward. And as I stand down there somewhere, and it has nothing to do with me, but I'll be glad to talk to you and pray with you and whatever. You can trust Jesus today and leave here and say, you know what, preacher? You know what, fellow friend of mine? You know what? If something happens to me and I die today, I know where I'm going. You're carrying around an awful lot of baggage that you don't have to be carrying around. A lot of worry that you don't need to be carrying around. A lot of stress that you don't need to be carrying around if you're not sure you're on your way to heaven. You can settle that today. No better time, no better place than today as we sing here in just a moment. Again, come down and say, preacher, I want to get saved. I want to know that I'm saved. I want to know that I'm on my way to heaven. And you can by trusting the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Just before we pray, let me ask you this question. Are you sitting there today and you'd have to honestly say, preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm not going to call on you. I'm not going to harass you. I'm not going to come back to you. I'm not going to do any. But if that's you, I want to at least pray for you, all right? Pray for you that you get that settled. Is there anyone here today that would have the boldness to say, you know what? I'm not 100% sure that I'd go to heaven if I died. Anybody have the boldness to basically raise their hand and say, that's me. I'm not 100% sure that I'm on my way to heaven. God bless you. Thank you for that hand. Anyone else raise their hand today and say, you know what? I'm not 100% sure that I'm on my way to heaven. God bless you. Thank you for that hand. Anyone else? I'm not 100% sure that I'm on my encourage you, if you raised your hand or if you didn't raise your hand, to make it right with the Lord today. Dear Heavenly Father, we commit the invitation to you. We thank you that you are such an awesome, amazing God. Words fail us, but Lord, we just praise you for being that kind of God. Lord, take control of the invitation. Lord, for any Christian that can't hardly hold themselves back from praising you and they feel compelled to come to the altar, I pray that they'll come and just praise you and thank you. And Lord, for anyone here today that's not sure they're on their way to heaven, Lord, to give them the boldness to step out and do business with you today. In Jesus' name we pray.